Hey, what's up, you fucking weirdos? It's your old pal Ian here. And it's, what's up, man? I don't know. I feel fucking just down. Not down and out, just down. It happens, you know? Just got back from a night of stand up and running around and. So you get so goddamn high, you know, feeling good and everything. It's like, what's next? What do I want next? You know, and I'm not doing booze, drugs, hookers, sex. So what's next? You sit with it. The uncomfortability, that monster that lives under your bed, and you can feel its fingernail scraping against your floor, coming up to claw you and hop inside and take over you like alien and pop out of your stomach. Are you going to be like Sigourney Weaver and fight it and win? Are you going to let that alien take over and fucking form inside your body, and that's who you are now? This foreign being that you don't even recognize who you once were. That's what it is. That darkness that no matter when you open your eyes, you still can't see. And even if you try to see, you don't even know if you want to. And that's where I'm at. I don't know what happens sometimes, man. It just comes and goes. And right now it's coming and just happens. I always just extricate myself from life and hide out on my own and don't tell no one about it or talk about it. You know, we all got our shit. But this goddamn podcast, I'm putting it out every Friday and I don't have a fucking... I got the interview, but I don't have the intro thing. I'm just bullshitting around. It's Thursday. The thing comes out Friday. I was going to do it Tuesday, but I had a bunch of stuff. I interviewed someone and then, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I had all this crazy shit and meetings and appointments, all good stuff, wonderful stuff. Things are going great. Can you believe it? Things are going fucking great. It's a life beyond my wildest dreams. It's never enough. Or maybe it is enough and I'm not okay with being okay. You know, that's what I got to work on, being okay with being okay. And I am okay. All things considered, my God, I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams. I should be dead. You kidding me? I shouldn't be alive. A million times over, I should be dead. I'm coming up on 3 years sober. I've been trying for 10. All the shit I've been through, physically, personally, emotionally, mentally. And I'm here. I'm thriving. I'm surviving. It's just a hard time seeing that in the ether and grabbing onto it and putting it in your pocket, you know? You can see it over and over, but can you believe it? I don't know. That's the goal, the dream, is to see it, believe it, and feel it, instead of just letting it pass you by. This is the best time of my life. This is what I'm going to look back on and remember, you know? I don't know if I'm going to have grandkids to tell it to. Maybe I'll have someone sitting on the porch with me in the rocking chair, sharing it with them. We take a drag of the cigarette, the sun comes up, look in each other and feel content. In order to do that, I gotta feel content myself. It's just fucking crazy feeling uncomfortable and not having something to make it better, you know? Always use a vice for it. Make that uncomfortability go away just as a distraction. Put a little band-aid on it, and then you got this festering wound underneath. I'll just worry about it later. Really working on just... you know, not feeling good, just fucking sitting with it. It fucking sucks. It's like, Jesus. You know, I sit, I read, I do my little meditative mantras. Maybe I'll call a friend and laugh, but, you know, I was with buddies tonight. Great time, giving each other shit. Went out to eat with a friend. Had so much fun. And it just goes, man. Sometimes, you know, I'm lucky though. I got out of bed today. Sometimes I can't even do that, you know. I ain't the only one, man. Could be so much worse. Good God. I got my faculties. I use my human car, it's my legs, to get me around town. Some people don't have that. I got the freedom to go up on stage and say how I feel and what I think. This is amazing, you know? Gratitude. Sometimes I lose sight of it. And I gotta remember just how fucking lucky and fortunate I am. That makes me feel better, you know? Feeling a little better right now, even just talking it out, you know? Sometimes it's tough. You get all those voices and ruminations in your head, and you gotta let them out. Because let me tell you something. Up in my head is a sick town, and all the neighbors are assholes. That's right. I don't know. I came home, a buddy asked me to go see a movie. He wanted me to go see Shape of Water. Ryan Donahue, if you listen to this, I'm not seeing Shape of Water. Wins all the awards. Fuck you. When some stupid thing turns into a fish. Yeah, I've seen it. It's called Splash, okay? Or the first time, Little Mermaid. Don't want to watch it. I did see the Oscar shorts on Sunday. That was very fun. I enjoyed that. And my pick won. I got an eye for success. And I tried to go on Netflix and check out, you know, let's see a movie on Netflix. Well, we've got every goddamned thing you could ever want, and then the one thing you want to see, we don't have it. You know, I mean, do I look at what's popular on Netflix? Do I look at my list? My list, A Week in Watts, LA 92, Casino, Flint Town, Encounters with Evil, Boogie Nights, Gangs of New York, Full Metal Jacket, Strippers, Walk Hard, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, Twilight Zone, Dallas Buyers Club, Black Mirror, A Serious Man, Too Young to Die, Archer, The Confession Tapes, Civil War, Jim and Andy, saw it. A lot of these I've seen, I just keep them, so I'm like, look, see man, see how cool you are, look at these interesting things you got. Soapy First Love TV shows, Dance Academy, woof. Everybody's been watching Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Maybe I should watch it. I don't know. Maybe I should live my own life and watch what I want. I really want to watch Peep Show, man. They got rid of Peep Show on Netflix. I mean, come on. What the hell? Oh, my God. My one roommate took a shit, and it's smelling up the entire fucking apartment. I mean, I'm having a hard time breathing right now, and I'm usually into fucking stinking things up. I made a guy move off the train the other day. Yeah, smell my brand, bitch. I mean, I watch Icarus. I don't know. Oh, City of God? Oh, I haven't seen that in forever. Maybe I'll watch that. I don't know. This is real riveting stuff, I bet. Whatever, this is just what it is. Oh, Ghostbusters? Well, now I know what I'm watching. No, I've seen it a million times. I don't know. That's the thing. Do I really have the attention span to watch something new? Do I have the mental fortitude to take something in, look at it critically, look at it for entertainment, and let it seep in? Or do I got to watch something I've seen a million times so I get excited at the nostalgia it brings back? Can I even watch anything anymore without just looking at my phone and wanting that little hit of dopamine that makes me feel wanted, makes me feel alive, makes me feel like I need something? You know, that's the addiction. That's what I got to kick next. Holy fuck. Social media, my cell phone. I mean, it's a goddamn crippling existence. Truly, I just find myself scrolling, looking, updating, refreshing, looking. Picture. What the fuck for, man? What the fuck for? Does nothing. Nothing. I posted this thing. I didn't get enough likes. Oh, I got no value. I got no reason to live. I mean, it's a bit extreme. It's, you know, that it does dictate my value sometimes, and that's fucked up. Because I always got value. Always have value. It's the self-esteem. I let it dictate my self-esteem. Like, I have no esteem because not enough people are liking. Fuck them. Fuck that. I I'm almost at a breaking point where I just want to crack the phone and go off the grid. But how will I get my bookings? But how will I speak to the girl I have a crush on? Oh, no. Oh, whatever will I do? I think I'm going to leave Facebook. It's such a trash fire. All these fucking videos and sharing and all this bullshit. Whatever. Man, this has been pretty negative, huh? Well, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You get negative. And you gotta see the dark before you see the light. The sun comes up after the dawn. During the dawn. After the night. When the sun goes down, the moon comes up. When the moon goes down, the sun comes up. Right now the moon's out and I can't see it, but I know the sun's gonna rise and I'm gonna let that shine on me. Tomorrow's gonna be a better day than today. Today was an alright day. I mean, you know, it's just blah. You just feel bland, you know? I want something to fucking get me. Something fucking inject in me. Fucking give me some fucking life. I gotta find the life inside of myself. I gotta find the fact that not everything is going to be so fucking yeah. And that's okay. You gotta be okay with being okay. You gotta be okay with just being. That's the struggle. Holy fuck. That's a fucking struggle. Just being okay with being. Downtime. Stillness. Oneness. Being. Mindfulness. Whew. And yeah, it could be worse. But we all got our own struggles. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Feels this way. Someone out there feels this way. Someone out there feels worse. And if you do, you ain't alone. I know I'm not the only one feeling this way right now. You know, and for me to think I am the only one at 10:34 on a Thursday night in this city, this state, this country, this world. No, I ain't the only one. Someone else out there feeling this way. Someone else out there feeling worse. And not that I'm happy they're feeling worse, but to put things into perspective, I got a good fucking life, man. I got a really good life. Life is hard. You struggle sometimes. It's a Madball lyric. Talk to Hoya Rock for Madball. We're going to get together probably once our album comes out. That's nice. I'm going to cut this short. You know, try to be a beacon of light and hope and positivity, but sometimes it's there. It's just, you got to get a couple flashlights to shine on it, you know. It's always in the room. You just got to figure out where it is. But my interview today, I'm happy about it. It shines a little light on something that needs to be seen. And that's the world of sex work. The world of prostitution. The world of making a choice to pick an occupation that's not like everyone else's, for you, by you. It pays pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking good. And if I could do it, I would. If I could be a sex worker and I could make some money, I'd do it. But I think I like being on the other side of it. You know, I joke around. And I do. I haven't in a while. I'm pretty proud of that because, you know, for a bit it got a little woo. But I haven't been with a sex worker in a while. And I think it's important. I wish more people got down with it and were okay with it because it satisfies a need that two people have. A business transaction, an exchanging of currency for work. It just so happens that the work brings people pleasure. And I think it's a lot safer and smarter if you go out and if you have a desire to get your nut off and you don't want to lie to someone, go through the work of meeting someone, getting their hopes up for some sort of relationship that you don't want to depend on, you know, or spend money in multiple dates just to get what you want. Because sometimes when you say to someone, hey, look, to be honest, I'm just looking for sex, Well, I'm more than that. Okay, I respect that, and I wish you the best, and I'll see you later. Sometimes you just want to fuck, and there are people out there that provide that service, so what's so bad about it? Sex is an act. Our hearts don't have to be attached to our dicks. Your heart doesn't have to live in your pussy. It's okay to have sex. It's okay to fuck when you want to fuck. I wish we could all fuck who we want to fuck, and people are just like, yeah, you know what, I'm bored, let's fuck, why not? All right. You got 20 minutes? Come on. Make life so much better, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm the only one that thinks that. But I think sex work's important because it could benefit so many people if it was normalized and looked on as just a regular job instead of something that should be met with shame. And it's not for everyone. I get that. I understand that. You know, my problem was that I would get prostitutes, and because of my own shit, I'd want to be the memorable John. I'd be the one that they, you know, this guy's not like the others. He's cool. He treats us all right. And I do. I did. You know, I can't get down with treating someone subhuman just because they're like, you know, I've heard stories about people going in and being rude and mean, and you know, it is a person. And I, more than anything, I think it was my search for friendship and intimacy in a weird situation, because it would make me special if I could win them over. I think that speaks to my needs and my shortcomings, which, you know, I'm exploring and I'm trying to work out. It's something I can recognize and realize, and once I realized it, it kind of put a stick in my spoke of riding that ride towards making it happen more and more, which I think is good, you know. But I don't know, I just like to see people be happy, and if someone's involved in sex work and they like it, good for them. You know, my friend Naomi seems to like it, and you know, she's young, she's got the whole world ahead of her. If this is the road she wants to go down that road. Make your money, live your life. You know, I just wish her safety and good health. And if anyone else is interested in sex work or knowing more about it, I guess email me. I'd like to interview someone else about it. I think it's interesting, and just all the psychology behind it. You know, going into it, it's also, man, I'm kind of addicted to the chaos of it. You know, looking someone up, negotiating, talking, showing up. Oh my God, am I going to get robbed? Am I going to get killed? Yeah, let's figure it out. Let's find out. What's the situation? Oh, this is crazy. I shouldn't do it. Yeah. It's like the chaos of drinking without the substance. You know, we're all fucked up, man. I'm trying. You know, and I hope you all are too. And I hope you all try to like this interview and enjoy it. And we'll talk soon. Do me a favor, what were you just showing me?
Okay, so I was showing you a website I'm making for my work. I'm planning on moving to Oregon in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of girls work over there. This is kind of a spot in Oregon where people come temporarily just to grow weed and then like move on. So this is a good place for work. So I have like a service page, like what do I expect? Like, what should people expect for me to do? But, okay, actually, let me start over. I don't want to write too much about exactly what I'm doing because it is illegal in the States. So the only thing that, like, implies sexual activity is, like, GFE, which is girlfriend experience. And even that's not so, you know, sexual in a sense.
So does girlfriend experience implicitly mean fucking, or could people take that as like, hey, let's just go to a movie?
It could be either or really. And like GFE in terms of fucking is more like not so porn star like, you know. So yeah, you just have some just some casual fun with somebody. It's just regular sex, not like porn star sex. That's the main difference. And I also write casual fun, which just means just fucking, if you'd rather that.
Just some casual fun.
Yeah, right.
Some fun casually.
Yeah. So I never say the word sex, and I never say the word rates and everything on the website. And on the website, I also have a screening form that people have to go through, which, okay, I can remember it. So I need people to sign a form saying, like, do you want in calls or out calls?
Oh, so you get them to sign.
Yeah, so.
What?
So this is what I do, yeah, here.
Can't that contract be used against you in court?
No, like, okay, this is how it goes. So I have people send me a picture of their ID and a picture, like a selfie picture, that you can't find on their social media, and a URL of either their Facebook or LinkedIn. And
yo, like, that is so official. Yeah. Every time I've ever gotten a prostitute, it's from Bin Backpage, and I have to like FaceTime them my dick and be like, see, this dick doesn't belong to a cop.
See, exactly.
Meet up with me.
Yeah, I need it to be more like really confidential and everything. Just
this is like a professional, fucking legitimate W-2 type deal.
That's it. Like, I'm trying to make it so. Yeah, as soon as I move to Oregon, like, it's on, and like, people will know that I'm also legit too. I feel like from
that's
even
a big fear.
Website. Yeah,
that's a huge fear on our end of it, because we're worried that you might be a cop, you might be a part of some outfit that's going to rob us, you might be a part of something that's going to get us like jumped. You know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah.
Which I feel like we're both kind of like snakes. Like, we're as afraid of you as you are afraid of us. Right. You know. And if you can have some sort of middle ground to make it like process and officiality kind of sucks, but it is transactional, and it's way more important to be like, hey, let's deal with this up front, so then we can have a good experience, rather than like you showing up at my motel and being like, am I going to get a gun in my face? Am I going
to? Yeah, no one needs to have all that fear, because, you know, guys that are feeling fear, they can't even start, really.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it doesn't help either of us.
And then you play mother the whole time, like, it's okay. It's okay, honey. I'm not going to hurt you.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, time's up.
Yeah, so I feel like the experience is just better if there's just more communication at first. And
for sure.
Yeah. And with sending the selfie and the ID, I tell them to send it through SafeSend, which is an end-to-end encrypted website. So let's see. I haven't had anyone use it yet, but basically, you know, it'll be encrypted images, so I can't just pull it up whenever I want, neither.
Right.
So that way, that's for their sake. You know?
Well, it's interesting, because, you know, I've been asked this a lot, and I have my own kind of way that I go about things, but I think everyone's different. But from on your end, how is money addressed? How are services addressed? And when do you address them when setting up a time to meet?
Okay.
You know,
so,
because you've used other services as well. You've used Backpage, right?
No, I haven't.
You've never used Backpage.
No, I haven't.
How
so,
the hell did you fucking find your dudes?
So the very
just
first
word of mouth?
No, right. So when I first started this, I was doing student exchange in Australia. And there's like this crazy point in life where I was at a campus party and I was just crying my eyes out because I just got to Australia and I realized I don't really have enough money to stay here as long as
God,
I think I want to.
That's how it always starts with somebody crying and needing money, and then they're like, oh, career.
No, it was right, exactly. So
oh, no.
I know what
this
I gotta
is
do
so
now.
Funny. Holy shit.
It's wild how this happened. Literally, this girl found me in the bushes crying to myself. And she's
instead like, of, hey, do you need some coffee? Hey, you want to fuck for money?
You're getting ahead of me.
Oh, my God. Right? All right. Continue.
Okay. So she's like, it's okay. Don't worry. I'll be your friend. Let's just go get coffee and figure out what's wrong with you. So we start talking the next day and everything. And eventually, after getting to know each other, she's like, so I'm just going to tell you, I'm a sex worker and I've been looking for a new partner lately. If you want to try this out, it's really good money. We can do, we can charge like $350 an hour for like a threesome with the two of us.
Right. Now, have you ever thought about that stuff before?
Yeah, I have.
You have.
I have thought about it before.
Okay, so prior to this, the seed had been planted somehow where you had secretly wanted to do sex work.
Yeah, like I really.
So it wasn't like she was twisting your arm like some sort of like friendly pimp.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Okay, cool.
That's a good thing to note. It's not like, how dare you, when she asked me.
Right. You know, so you didn't feel like you were trapped or backed into a corner. This was a thing where you just needed, you had a lock and she was a key, and then it kind of opened that door.
Boom. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Especially since, like, I wouldn't know where to start in this.
Right.
Seems
right.
To know
so
everything.
She was almost like a little prostitute angel.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, oh man, I think about her all the time and how she's just transformed my life.
Oh, that's so great.
Generous way. So we went to Gold Coast, Australia, my first time, and Gold Coast is like Las Vegas over there, you know.
It's
big, and big buildings and everything. So we saw this one guy, we had a really, really good time. Actually, he was fat, he's seen other girls before, he knew what he was doing, she knew what she was doing, and I felt fine, I felt comfortable. But then we saw like another older man. And that was interesting.
So wait, you had the experience with him?
Yeah, I had my first
experience.
Okay,
you really glossed over that quickly. Can we go back?
Okay,
can you talk
trying...
about that? Like what your first experience with that was like?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't have to go into gross details. However you feel comfortable. I'm just interested to know like what that was like psychologically. You felt comfortable?
Yeah, I felt comfortable.
Okay.
I felt like, I'm trying to remember who drove us. Like Annie drives.
And where did you find him?
So she
on the street.
No. Okay, true. She uses, what's that website? Like Gumtree? Yeah,
Gumtree.com.au.
That's an Australian.
Oh, so that's like
Craigslist.
Australian
back page. Back
page
is better. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's what we use. We use Gumtree.
Mm-hmm.
And
Gumtree.
Right.
Oh, I might.
That's exactly. Like, it's so Australian. It's wild. And so
Vegemite.com.
Vegemite.
Instead of Vegemite.
Right.
All right.
Sorry. So like it's Appalachian State, not Appalachian. Anywho. So she used that website. She just got it all together and I just went along for the ride.
Right.
So this is before I helped out.
Okay.
You know, so she was mama bearing it all.
Right.
I do remember this one part of my first time. Okay, so let me just tell you. So after we saw him, we saw somebody else. And after we saw that guy, the first guy that we saw wanted us back over again. And
that
like
night.
Paid for that night. Yeah.
Whoa.
And this is like maybe 4.5 hours later.
Right.
So like, yeah. And he paid the same amount. And we just went all over again. And I remember he lived like on one of the highest floors. I want to say 14, but 10 to 14. Okay.
Right.
And I was like in my underwear, my sexy blue underwear, like without anything else on, like on the balcony. And I was just looking at all these big buildings. And I was like, I just made $800 today, fucking two people. I feel good.
You know what I mean? Hell yeah.
Yeah. I feel
that's
we
right.
both did. You know, we both made $1,600 in one night.
Oh my God.
Like, that's insane.
Oh my God. And what's the exchange rate? So that's Australian.
Yeah,
and what was that in America?
It's 75 cents to the U.S. dollar. So if we made $100, it's 75 U.S. dollars.
Oh, okay.
So
that's still pretty fucking good.
It's good. Yeah.
I'm happy
about it. And it's all golden money. Like the $50 bills in Australia are bright yellow. And it just looks even
really?
Richer.
Really?
Oh, know
what damn.
I mean?
So you feel like a fucking queen
getting
that fucking money.
I have a picture of me like laying in $10,000 like of gold 50s.
Oh, you have
and,
to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like Donald Duck in a Disney film diving into the fucking money. Oh,
sick.
Shit.
Yeah,
that's fucking great.
Yeah, because we like to count it all in the end and like line it all up. Yeah, so ever since then, we started going on all these like tour trips, you know, to Gold Coast, Macquarie, Melanbumby. Yeah. And all these other Australian places.
And you were going to see the sights and in the meantime, fuck to make money. Or were you guys going to fuck and as an offshoot see the sights?
That's it. That's the second one. So like we were doing tours and this was also.
Oh, by tours, you mean fuck tours?
Yeah. Fuck tours.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And so this is while I was still doing student exchange, right? So, I mean, we mainly just did that on the weekends or if I had a Friday off, there we go.
Were you just like, fuck class, fuck a degree, fucking learning.
I missed one class once because it was like an overnight and it was really good money. So I missed a Monday. and other than that, I never like missed my classes for it.
That's
and then,
so funny that most people are like, oh, I can't come and take the exam. I had to go see my grandmother. And then you're like, oh yeah, sorry, I was DPing this fucking, you know, Australian businessman.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So I was making $15,000.
Sorry, exactly.
Pegging a fat businessman.
Doing cocaine and,
yeah,
and having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my life. And okay, and then anywho, and then after 3 months of doing student exchange, I just traveled for 2.5 months solo, all up and down the east coast of Australia. So when I got back home, I was like, I still want to do this. It's just not going to be as easy, because in Australia, we were able to make, like, you know, ads in the newspaper. So
legal over there.
Yeah, it's totally, it's decriminalized. So that's why it made it such a good culture shock in that. In the Australian culture and in the sex work culture of Australia, because there was an etiquette and already an idea of what to expect there. We never gave a blowjob without a condom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and that wasn't like questioned. Maybe like once or twice it was questioned, but like everyone expected that, you know. And
was anyone like, I'll pay you extra for no condom?
Yeah, we have that. And so,
would you do it or no?
No, good, definitely good, not. Good, so good. What's fantastic is I just learned so much of how to handle clients over there as well. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, so you don't like go back and forth with sexy talk when they're asking a bunch of questions, because they're not going to book if they're just making this text fantasy. You know, they're just going to jack off to what you text back. So you just give them the short answers and make a booking or not. Like, don't deal with time wasters. I learned to recognize what a time waster was, which has been really valuable, because then otherwise you're just talking forever and then they never book.
Interesting. And then you put your foot down and you go, hey, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you using your phone and phone number? Do you have like a Google number?
We had a work phone. So, okay. Yeah. So we split the bills of the work phone. We split the bills of the hotels. Another really, like, I was just incredibly lucky in the sense of starting in Australia and exactly where I was, because we had a friend, a local, who let us like book her a room in her house, you know, when we wanted to work right in the town that I was doing student exchange at. So like, you know, someone pays us $350 for the half hour. We just give the woman that owns the house $50 from that one booking.
And she knew what was going on.
And she knew what was going on.
And she was
she
cool
already
with
had
it.
All these toys and everything. She had toys of her own. We bought toys of our own. And like everything we used a condom with. And we charged extra if anyone wanted to use our toys.
And you think it's because everything is so legal and out in the open there that people are just so fine with it? That's why?
That's why what exactly?
That this woman was like, yeah, use my place.
Yeah,
why
well,
not?
She was also this big, like, big into LGBT community stuff. She was one of these very flamboyant people that was like, I love sex and I love my cunt. She used to call her own vagina a cunt all the time and had all these, like, vagina photos in the bathrooms.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so she was, like,
that's
the one
awesome.
To
right.
work with here.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. And, man, I remember times when, with role playing. Okay, so one of the services I put on my website is role playing, because I've had some experience with that, where one person like acted like a baby and came in with a diaper.
Yeah,
and came in with a diaper, and like, so I changed his dirty diaper because he only peed in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
His
diaper.
Paint a picture. Who is this man?
Okay, so this is an older let me think. Black hair, just
like
wearing normal
clothes. Older guy.
I would say 50s.
50s. Married. 40s. 50s. Married, single, business guy, blue collar guy, dirty guy, clean guy. What kind of guy?
Okay. More of like a shy looking man. Mm-hmm. Like shy, kind of like played with his fingers a lot. Just he was clean, like, and we expected him to take a shower. I think he took a shower. I'm sure I remember this guy particularly now. That was just a simple thing. He had all his formulas and stuff on our table. So like I went out and I made him some formulas and stuff while she went and sucked his dick.
Uh-huh.
And then I brought the bottle out and everything and like kind of fed him with the bottle.
Uh-huh.
And
would he call you mama? Would he coo? Would he be like, wah?
I don't remember really that much. Can I tell you about another?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah,
tell
me. Okay.
This is great.
Yeah, good.
I love it.
I wish I did write it all down. I actually lost my journal in one of the hotels, which I don't understand how. You ever like know like there's a black hole somewhere that your stuff just goes into? I can't believe I lost that journal. Anyway, but I have all my memories. Okay.
Right.
So there was this other guy that also dressed like a woman. Now I remember him really well. He had like a pad in his panties. I remember like sucking his dick and like, oh, I love licking this wet pussy and everything while I suck his dick and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a really good one. Was sucking on his nipples and pinching his nipples super hard.
Ah.
That was interesting. Yeah, I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who does?
Yeah.
That guy. Many other guys. Let's see.
So wait, this baby guy, when did he bring up that he wanted to be treated like a baby? During, did he bring it up prior to meeting you?
Yeah, definitely. You can't just come in with extra expectations outside of sex and expect to pay the same price.
Okay, so when do you bring that stuff up? And in America, when is it safe to bring that stuff up, like pricing and everything?
Yeah, okay. So in America, the way I started was I wasn't going to like put an ad on Craigslist or Backpage or anything. I was too scared. Mm-hmm. So on Craigslist, I put a sexy maid business mm-hmm. as my thing. And so I just bought, like, used all the cleaning supplies I already had at home. I bought these, what do you call it? sexy maid outfits and everything. And I had some people actually like respond back to me. Mm-hmm. So I went over there and I was in costume. It was like $60 to $80 an hour if you wanted me to be completely nude cleaning your mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like screen the people myself mm-hmm. while I was doing that. So when I was done doing that, sometimes I would say at the end, hey, I also fuck for money if you mm-hmm. just want. And like, I put down my prices so much in the States.
And you do that over the phone?
No, I do that while I'm cleaning. So
cleaning. Yeah, so you don't bring that up on the phone?
I don't bring it up at all. Like, okay. And I bring it up after I'm doing my sexy maid business because that's mm-hmm. legal. You know, I'm not offering like
sex
or anything. I'm not offering you to touch me and stuff like that. That way, if you're the kind of person that would have a sexy maid, maybe you would be the kind of person to just pay me like around the same the same amount for sex,
right?
And that worked out really, really well, actually. Yeah, as I had six people who were pretty constant and like,
well, really
in the beginning,
for fucking or just cleaning?
No, for fucking. So
now,
and
what about your cleaning skills? Were you legit cleaning the house?
Was,
or
is
that
was
were
like,
you good at that?
Yeah,
or
are
you
good.
Just like shitty at that?
I was good at that. Yeah.
Like,
I actually clean their dishes. Yeah. And I don't know. Because I'm also really bad at like dirty talk and everything.
Right.
So I think like cleaning was like getting my head off what I'm gonna ask next and everything. Especially since this is my first time working by myself. When I first started, you know, I was with someone who knew everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So the cleaning helped me, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so when you're working and you're not cleaning and there's no pretense, it's straight up, call me if you want to exchange money for sex. Mm-hmm. When are the prices negotiated?
Okay.
You can't put in an ad $100.
Right, no. But I can put in an ad for the sexy maid business, like $60 an hour for just the outfit and cleaning the house, and $80 for just completely naked. So that's when I put that up. And then when I see them in person,
that's when you mention
the sex. That's when I mention
sex. Now, if you're not doing the sexy maid stuff and it's just straight up for sex, like an ad, when does that price and the girlfriend experience type stuff get negotiated?
Well, like while I'm there.
While you're there. So you don't talk about that at all prior.
I didn't, no, because I was too scared.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So,
okay.
But it worked out nicely because I like lived in this mountain town where mm-hmm. I guess people lived up in the like isolated in the mountains, so I met a lot of like old men. But yeah. Let's see, there was this one that recently moved from Arizona that worked in the administrative office of my university.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like right where the financial aid building is, and he loved me a lot. Like, I think he just wanted to watch porn with me. I like brought my own toys. I brought my own toys without really asking him to pay for it at one point.
Really?
I was just kind of like, I really liked him a lot. Yeah. Which, you know, that's actually bad practice. Don't do that. But this
you don't get high on your own supply.
Yeah, this is my experience. And there we go.
Yeah.
Let's see, and. He wouldn't have sex with me though for like the first three times of me coming over there because he was too shy. Like, he wouldn't be able to get it up long enough to even bother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. And he actually did let me like clean his house and just keep him company and just be naked and watch porn with him and just be naked and touch his back and massage him. And I was still getting paid like my low prices at the time mm-hmm. of like $150 for the mm-hmm. half hour, but that was good. I liked him a lot. So, but then, oh my god, I started with my sexy maid business, started meeting this other man, and he introduced me to his roommate, who was also like his boss in like this kind of construction work thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, and they were roommates. And so I started like also sleeping with him because he offered me to. And then that first guy moved out. And then I just been having like the boss as a regular client ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was slowly, and like he was my regular for 2 years when I was in school, you know? So like I see him like once every 2 weeks and he practically paid my rent, you know, like $200 every 2 weeks, you know, rent in North Carolina is $350.
Right.
Yeah. So,
would at a certain point with these return customers, did, not did feelings develop, but did some sense of obligation develop? Where like you had to turn down other things because you were like, well, I have to go to Craig.
Oh, gotcha. Trying to think. No, I never really inconvenienced myself.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and they knew up top, this is all it is. It's not going anywhere. This is transactional. It's not whatever. Or did they have something in their head where they're like, one day I'll get you to be mine.
I know.
Like, you'll be my gal one day.
I know. I don't think, I know I haven't had that. Really.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know why. I don't know. No, I don't think anyone was like that. Maybe the one I was talking about from earlier, the one who wouldn't have sex with me for a while. I think he was really starting to like me, but I have this bad problem where I kind of ghost away. And especially since I break my phone like all the time, I also just didn't have his phone number for the longest time. And so that kind of just fizzled off because of me. But I also fizzle off a lot of relationships, which is such stupid business and such a personal problem. Sorry, am I doing this okay?
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Okay.
Yeah. My question is, you just brought up in your personal business, how do you balance this job of yours with maintaining personal relationships? Have you ever been in a personal love relationship with someone while at the same time you're actively pursuing your work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk about that a bit?
Okay, so it all started when I, you know, did exchange in Australia and I had a boyfriend when I was over there. And I told him like, hey, I think I'm going to start doing this now. And he was really all right with it, actually, because he's the one who brought up polyamory and everything to me. And what's interesting is, so a few weeks before I even left for Australia, I walked into him having sex with somebody else. And to me, polyamory is supposed to be when you have the consent and knowledge of everyone involved. I didn't know this girl
was
going to be here.
Very communication-based, very trust-based.
Very trust-based, yeah. I had no idea, like, he was seeing this girl, and then I just kind of came over out the blue like I always have, and there they were. So I knew I was going to Australia for the summer, and he was going to Durham, and I asked him, can you just not see anyone while you're in Durham for me? I was being really insecure, actually, but I asked him just kind of stay absent while I'm gone. And he was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And then here I am in Australia now being like, actually, now I'm about to do lot of shit.
Did you tell him that?
And I did. I told him, and I told him, and he was like, well, I'll still keep up with like me not seeing anyone here. And when I got back home, actually, he was very resentful of the fact that, like, he said he felt nervous to talk to other girls because he's like, is that considered cheating to Raquel? I don't know. I was also in, I didn't know how to handle, I guess, relationships well when I was a little younger. But you know what? Walking into him having sex just fucked me up. I was like, I never want to see you with anyone
now,
ever again.
Do you think that that was kind of like the catalyst to what put you towards sex work? Like, did you think, well, if he's going to do that, I'll fucking go and do
this. It wasn't like a resentment or revenge thing or anything. It was like, I need money.
right.
And I have all the resources in my disposal to do it. Like, wow, I'm in one of the few places where it's completely decriminalized and a sex worker and a already expert sex worker just came up to me. So like everything just fell into place with that. Honestly.
Right.
Yeah. So
what happens when you get a call, someone contacts you and you meet up and they are just completely physically repulsive or they are just like, Or you don't click, or it's just like let's talk about physical repulsion first, and then we'll talk about like bad vibes after that.
Gotcha.
Cool.
So there was this one guy who came in and he was so dirty. He was like this obese man. He works like on a farm, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, okay, you got to go take a shower, right? Mm-hmm. He takes like a 2-minute shower, comes Ugh. Back out, and like he had what I felt like could be considered a micro penis. Like, and it was terrible. And I genuinely had to lift up his stomach and try to
Little
get it
in
there.
Bitch.
Right. And I just couldn't. So it was more of me just grinding on his stomach than one. It was so gross. And he was dirty, you right. know? And I actually don't remember if he came or not, but finally time was up. I think I put the timer like 7 minutes early right. actually. And
Hilarious.
Like flipped the phone.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
funny.
And was done with him. And then when he got up, like our sheets were all dirty and everything
oh, no.
too. And that was the one time I felt actually like, what am
right,
I doing today? Like
right,
what
right,
are we,
right.
what's going on? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
So in that situation, you're like, hey, I clocked in, this is work. I gotta finish a job.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I still like came on top, was on top of them and I still tried,
right,
you know,
right.
like, but it was that was just gross.
That's
to be
so
honest.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. A person. Well, we've had somebody who saw our ad in the paper, and it's a picture of me actually in the ad.
Right.
And so, you know what I look like. So he comes in, and he came in at like 2 a.m. or something. We're so tired. We just fucked like, we had days where we were fucking like 10 to 12 to you know. Teens and the people.
God
teens.
Damn.
Yeah. Like,
one after the other?
Yeah. Like,
what,
one after...
How the... Your poor pussies. What the hell did you do?
Yeah. Oh, such good, like, self-care, man. Like, that's how I got... Yeah, that's how I got into Kegels. Like, because I've easily fucked over 300 people in my life.
Right.
You know, within a few months. And
right.
I was like, I'm not going to be all, like, loosey-goosey.
Right,
I guess, down
right,
there.
Right.
So I started doing Kegels.
So wait, in between these guys, would you guys just, like, sit on, like, ice packs? Like, what the
so
fuck?
So what's so nice is, like... It was really helpful to have someone else with you.
Oh,
you
I can
know?
Imagine.
So
there should be prostitute sex worker spotters. You know what I mean? Like
right.
there should be like a sisterhood of sex workers that take the hand of others, lead them, show them the way, and then you help others once you've learned what to do, you know, because I feel like that would make things so much more beneficial to everyone involved, and it wouldn't be such a scary thing. It wouldn't be such a lonely thing. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
No, completely.
I think sex work and everything is, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think it should be completely flipped on its head how we look at it. And mm-hmm. I think, things need to be massively changed in terms of how we address it in this country. And if there was like a, You basically went to like the minor leagues of you went to like spring training for sex work and then came over here to go off and like be on your own team.
That's
you know
it,
what I mean?
Yeah. And it's prepared me so well. And
yeah.
like your sentiment there is similar to the sign I brought to the Women's March.
Uh-huh.
You know, that happened a few weeks ago. And my sign says, if only sex work were not criminal, sex workers can do so much more for themselves and for each other.
Mm.
Which is exactly what you're saying. And
yes.
it can't, yeah, because. When I was over there, there's this organization called SWAP, Sex uh-huh. Workers Outreach Program.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, we went to a dinner once with all these other sex workers, and we talked about,
oh,
like, what
yeah.
clients are about
right,
and everything.
Right, right,
and,
that's so important.
Yeah, it was
And
really
you're all just
good.
Normal fucking people.
So
you're all just fucking dudes trying to get some fucking paycheck.
That's
all.
It, yeah. yeah. So, yeah. you know, and there's something I take out of, like, doing sex work, too. Like, I just like that I just did... Some good for somebody, I feel like, you know, like, and people, you know, when I talk to my friends out here, they're like, oh, I'll never need a sex worker. And I'm like, yeah, well, no, because I had clients who are also in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
but can't get the specific experiences that they want, you know, like they don't have anyone that would peg them, even if they're like
mm-hmm.
really hot and really young.
Right.
You know what
so
I mean?
So you'd peg dudes?
I've pegged one guy. So
yeah.
I thought
that
was
what
really
was
that great.
Like?
Yeah. Sex is a whole different strategy. Hey, when
right.
you're the male, you know?
Right, right.
But just lubed it up and everything. And the way we got our harnesses was there's actually a shoemaker in Lismore that actually also makes like BDSM stuff. Like Lismore, funny enough, has like a underground LGBT BDSM culture
mm-hmm.
as well, which is why like it was so easy to find the woman that we rented from
right.
and my friend and
right.
everything. It was just the place.
It's so funny that Australia sounds so cool until you meet an Australian. Yeah. Like everything you're telling me sounds amazing. Then I meet Australians. I'm like, you are the worst people I've ever encountered.
They're pretty
in my
intensive
life.
People.
Yeah, they're all horrible, but they got good ideas down there. And then yeah. just in translation, they just fucking lose it.
Yeah, I understand.
That's so yeah. funny.
Well, everyone, I feel like I was also treated pretty differently down there because in the place I was, Lismore, you know, no one goes to Lismore when they go to right. Australia, really. And so I feel for a lot of. Oh, yeah. So for a lot of my clients and people I just met on the streets, like I was kind of like one of the few black people they've ever seen,
right,
you know, so
right.
sometimes we also did solos, one on ones with people. And a lot of people booked me because in Australia, I'm exotic, I guess. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Which
right.
was an interesting thing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even at bars, people would say, you look like Beyonce. And I was, and it's so funny because I would always think, if your only frame of reference for me is Beyonce, you have not met many
yeah,
black
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am not deserving of that comment,
so
but
funny.
I'll never get it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
I think fucking every black person just go to Australia to get celebrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just, like, you were like worshipped down there.
It was so nice. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's so great.
That was really great.
That's so funny. So you have a website that you're setting up when you move.
Yeah.
And what's the website called?
Okay. It's lovenaomicarter.wixsite.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovenaomicarter.wixsite. How do you spell Wixsite?
WIXSITE.com.
Okay.
/ service.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
That's
I will
one.
Buy a domain name very, very soon.
Okay.
So just remember lovenaomicarter.com. Eventually I'll put it as
okay.
that.
And then people can search you on Google. And do you have an email address someone can contact you to get a hold of you?
Okay. Yeah. If anyone is interested in working with me, I'm going to be living in Murphy, Oregon in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So my email is lovenaomicarter@gmail.com. And I'm thinking of selling pictures. That's been on my mind and
hey,
underwear. So
right.
if you want to go through like the images and galleries I have up right now, just give me a ring.
Hell yeah, that's right. Drop a line and you'll get in contact and see if you can make it work.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to say? Parting words?
Okay. Well, you never know when someone you know is a sex worker. You don't realize it, but you may love someone who's family or friend that works in this industry. So whether or not you agree with the occupation, don't be part of the violence that goes on towards sex workers by spreading the stigmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really does affect people's lives. The only reason it was so easy in etiquette in Australia was because it was decriminalized. There was less stigma. That
right.
can't happen for the United States.
Right.
So just be open-minded.
All right. That's the pod for today, y'all. Call me the Smashing Pumpkins because I'm melancholy in the infinite sadness. That's right. But they put out... That was a good album. Sad title. Great album. Just because you're sad and down doesn't mean you can't be great, you know? At least I think so. But what do I know? All I know is my experience, and I know I've been down before, and I know I'll get back up. Shit always busts out, know what I mean? But I think talking helped, even if it was just talking to this old microphone. Listen, that interview helped, you know? It's good to hear other perspectives, to hear the other side, be a little Jacob Reese. See how the other half lives, you know. I think sex work's important. I think acceptance is important. I think acceptance in general is important. I hope you all accept yourselves. I accept myself today. And, you know, we get down, but we get right back up again. It's like a Chumbawamba song. All right, enough. Anyway, I'm in Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up. And I got a bunch of city dates. IanFidance.com. At iAnimal on Instagram. And come out, say hi, send me a message, IanFinanceswildWorld@gmail.com. I got a couple, I'm going to read them on the next episode. They've been really nice to hear. People have been really enjoying the pod. But yeah, man, just want to thank you all for listening. And appreciate y'all. Hope you appreciate yourselves. Enjoy every sandwich. Have a good one. Bye.